Psalm 13, and then we're going to go back and we saw the life of David, we saw the great sin of David in the last message, we saw that Nathan came to David and told the story of the man who stole the lamb from a man who had many lambs, and we know that that story was describing David. And then of course David became wroth and indignant that this would take place. And Nathan, the prophet, made those famous words to David, "Thou art the man." And David realized that Nathan was confronting him with the sin of Bathsheba. And so David repents of his sin, but he doesn't have the ability to do, he doesn't have the choice of what his consequences will be. And so tonight I'm going to do two things. I'm going to tell the story of Absalom, and we're going to see David on the run. And when David was on the run from rebellious Absalom, and it takes many years to get to the place, but I want you to know tonight that Absalom was a rebel. Absalom was a rebel. Absalom no doubt broke the heart of his father David in his rebellion against the kingdom of Israel and trying to overthrow David. The part I like is the old man still had it in sense that Absalom didn't win. But Absalom becomes the main character in part of David's the consequences of the sin. Absalom becomes part of that. And we need to understand that God often leaves the consequences of our sins to work their course, even though God forgave David and God is a forgiver of sin. And even though David was a poor father, he was still a great leader. He was definitely a poor father in the how he dealt with his children. Later on we'll preach and I'll look at each one of his children and really how he fathered them, and how one of his sons he never said no, and Absalom he never confronted in the story we'll look at, and how he should have when he killed another son. Can you imagine one son raping a daughter in his own daughter, and then the son Absalom killing that brother and all the consequences? You know why God allows the consequences of our sin to work its course? It's that He wants to teach us that the horrors of sin should hurt us so much that we would not want to go back to that sin. God knew what would happen in the course of Solomon and Absalom, but God didn't stop it. And after Nathan comes to David, and David repents in Psalm, I almost was going to preach Psalm 51, but even though we preached a lot of it in the last message, because it shows us that even though David committed a great sin, and it was a great sin, it was murder of Uriah, it was adultery with Bathsheba, it was the murder of other men, because Uriah was not the only one that died in that battle. And here's what God did. He pronounced three judgments on David. Number one, He pronounced that the baby from the illicit affair would die, and it did. His family would never be in unity. It would always be in fights. And one that he loved would lay with his wives as David slayed Uriah. As David did with Uriah's wife, so would somebody do with David's wives. And guess who that was? Absalom. All of this came true, and the main character in the story of David and the rebellion of his family, the main character is a man named Absalom. Now I want you to stand with me and let's read Psalm 13, and then I'm going to go back and tell the story. This is the eventual realization of what takes place. And in Psalm 13, David is writing this psalm when he's on the run from Absalom. And it may be that we will preach about Hushai and Ahithophel and how the conspiracy, and Ahithophel knew what to do. Ahithophel was one of David's close advisors. And if Absalom had followed the advice of Ahithophel, David would have died. But instead he followed the advice of Hushai, which David had set up. Listen, this is what you need to do. This is how you need to deal with it. And he followed the advice of Hushai, and David was able to prevail and come back. But this psalm was written while David is on the run from Absalom. Now, there's going to be about 15 years I'm going to preach tonight. I'm going to give some applications along the way. And when we get to Psalm 13, you'll know that we're closer to being done than when we began, which will be in about 50 minutes probably. But that's okay. We don't have anything to do except go to camp tomorrow. All right? So David's on the run. He's crossed. He's got his men with him, and I'll talk about that in just a few minutes. He's got Joab, the mighty men. These guys are older now, but they still got it. Don't mess with the old man. That's all I can say about that, all right? And David on the run said, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever?" You see, David's heart is broken. David's heart is distressed. David realizes all of the things that have happened in the story of Absalom that I haven't told yet. He understands this, but he says, "Lord, how long will it be? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me?" Verse number one. Verse number two, David on the run. "How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me?" At this point, David doesn't even know if he's going to make it out of this situation. But here's what he prays. "Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved." David said this. And here's, I love David. I'm telling you, David did great wrong, but David was a man after the heart of God. And we should be that way after we saw it this morning. And David is terribly repentant. I mean, terribly sorry over his sin and repentant. And basically, we can see that from the message this morning, David allowed his flesh to overrule his spirit in this whole matter. But he says this, "But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me." Lord, I pray that you'd help me to preach this message tonight. And as we look at Psalm 13 in the light of the story of Absalom, as we see the story of Absalom and what it entails and brings us to David being on the run, and Absalom had the heart of many of the young people and they were pursuing David, and Absalom would have killed his own father and would have taken the throne had it not been by the grace of God and the mercy of God. And Lord, next week as we look at the death of Absalom and the rebellious attitude that this boy had, God, I pray that we would understand tonight that even though David is dealing with disunity in his family and the heartbreak of his family, that Absalom still was a rebel, did wrong, and rebelled against his own father and against the kingdom of Israel. I pray, God, you'd help me to bring this story in light tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. I'm going to go through the story of Absalom, beginning in chapter 13 and going through about chapter 15. I know that this is kind of a lot of things, but I just felt like this is the best way to do it, because we really we've been preaching on the life of David more than the life of Absalom. But Absalom is a part of the story of David, just like Joab is, and some of the things that Joab did. But the main character that is in the life of David as far as part of David's judgment upon his family. And there was great judgment. We talked about in Sunday school this morning. We talked about unity, and the unity that we find in the New Testament is church unity. But to bring about church unity, I believe one of the things that needs to be understood is there needs to be unity in the family. I mean, you want to have heaven on earth, you have unity in your family. You want to have distress on earth, then you don't have unity in your family. And Absalom is the son of David. He is the son of David. One of the problems with David and Solomon. What David does in his sin problem, Solomon will do it 100 times worse. Because Solomon will marry many women, have many concubines. They'll bring in false gods. He'll build idols. He'll build houses for his Egyptian wife. Well, Absalom is his grandfather is a Syrian king. His mother is a Syrian princess. And David marries her and brings her into the kingdom. And Absalom is one of those strong and strikingly handsome young men. He is the third son of David. And again, I'm going to do a snapshot. Look at chapter 14 and verse number 25. Look at chapter 14 and verse 25. And here's a description of this boy named Solomon. But in all of Israel, there was none to be so much praised as Absalom for his beauty. Look at this. From the sole of his foot, even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. And here's one thing I don't get, and I'm just going to tell you, I don't understand these women who like long hair on a man. I'm just telling you, I don't get it. Bible doesn't say there shouldn't be no long hair on the man. Oh, but he's so beautiful. Look at him. Look at those locks on his hair. Look at his locks on his head. What I see is a boy who needs to get a haircut. That's what I see. But when he polled his head, for it was at every year's end that he polled it, because the hair was heavy on him, therefore he polled it, he weighed the hair of his head at 200 shekels after the king's weight. And unto Absalom there were born 3 sons and 1 daughter, whose name was Tamar. She was a woman of fair countenance. So Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem and saw not the king. Now this would bring us, this is part of the story. But the only part of the story I want you to see there is he was a very good looking boy. And listen, let me tell you something. Looks ain't everything. Looks are not to be the thing that you are to go for. How about going for some character? Somebody, listen girls, don't go after somebody that looks good. Go after somebody that be good. Go after somebody that loves the Lord. Somebody that will take you to church, not to take you out of church. Somebody that will pray with you and will love you. Now listen, start the story of Absalom. It really starts way back in the beginning of chapter 13 when Amnon, David's second son. So you have Amnon, who is just older than Absalom, the second son. He falls in love with Tamar, Absalom's sister. Now this is Absalom's sister, Tamar. And Amnon falls in love with Tamar, his half-sister, David's daughter, by the same woman that Absalom comes from. In chapter 13, he pretends to be sick. He gets David to send her to his bedroom with food. And when he got there, he raped her. And after that, the Bible, look at chapter 13 and verse 15. I don't want to go through that, but I'm telling you the story. Verse 15 of chapter 13. After this abhorred thing that takes place in the first 14 verses, the Bible says, now Amnon hates her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said unto her, arise and be gone. Now let me make the first application in the message tonight, and that's this. I'm talking to young ladies. The next time a boy tells you he loves you and then asks you to prove his love the wrong way, run as far away from it as you can. Run to your father, if you would, so that he can take care of the situation. Somebody say amen. Now I want you to tell you after this. This is beginning the disunity in the family of David. This is a terrible, terrible, terrible situation, because you have Amnon, you have Tamar, and you have Absalom. And Absalom, one of the reasons I believe David loved Absalom so great is because Absalom is like a man of war. And you think he's going to allow Amnon to get away with this? Well, that's part of the story. Because Tamar, in her shame, goes into deep grief over what took place, rightly so. Absalom finds out why that she's in grief, and he invites Tamar to come and live with him. And look at 2 Samuel 13 and verse 20. And Absalom, her brother, said unto her, "Hath Amnon thy brother been with thee? But hold now thy peace, my sister. He is thy brother." And almost the idea of that he is thy brother is the idea he is the king's son. He is thy brother. I'll add, he is thy king's son. He said, Absalom goes, "Regard not this thing." So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. Now here's verse 21, and I wasn't going to preach this, but I'm going to. But when King David heard of all these things, he was very wroth. But he didn't do anything about it. And Absalom spake unto his brother Amnon, verse 22, "Neither good nor bad, for Absalom hated Amnon because he had forced his sister Tamar." So Tamar is now in shame. Do you see the disunity in the family? Now listen, now we fast forward 2 years. 2 years later, Absalom throws a party for all the king's sons. He asked David to come. David did not come. But he asked David to tell Amnon to come, and that David did. I don't get David. I mean, he's got to know that this is an explosive situation. He told his soldiers Absalom told his soldiers, "When I'm going to get Absalom drunk, and we're going to kill him." And fearing for their lives, probably thinking Absalom was going to kill everybody that had anything to do with the throne. Look at 2 Samuel 13 in verse 29. "And the servants of Absalom did unto Amnon as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and every man got him upon his mule and fled. And it came to pass while they were in the way that the tidings came to David, saying, 'Absalom has slain all the king's sons, and there is none of them left.'" So that didn't happen, but that's what was told to him, and that's what David thought. "Then the king arose, tear his garments, lay on the earth, and all his servants stood by, their clothes they rent." So David and his sons, the Bible basically says, well, they wept loudly. Look at verse number 36, chapter 13, verse 36. Man, we're moving along in years here faster than you ever imagined. "And it came to pass, as soon as he had made an end of speaking, that behold, the king's sons came." He realizes they're not all dead, only Amnon is. "And they lifted up their voice and they wept, and the king also, and all his servants," look at this, "wept very sore." Now what does Absalom do? Well, in verse 37, Absalom flees and goes to Tamali, the king of Geshur, and David mourned for his son every day. He killed his own boy. But yet David is, he longs for Absalom. He loves Absalom. "And the soul of King David longed to go forth unto Absalom, for he was comforted concerning Amnon, seeing what he was dead." Here's again, David longed to see Absalom. You know what David did? Nothing. Joab has a woman from Tekoa tell David one of her sons killed another by accident, and her clan wanted to execute him. Here's it is, the same thing. This is how David gets his information, just like Nathan the prophet comes to him and tells David the story. David is incensed, says this man's got to die until he realizes it's himself. Joab does the same thing with a woman, and David said this was wrong, and you can read all this, but the idea was wrong for him to keep Absalom in exile. Knowing Joab was behind this, David finally gives permission for Absalom to return. But he said he didn't want him to see him in his presence. He didn't want to have anything to do with him, even though he longed after him. He comes back, and for 2 years, David does nothing. 2 years. He's isolated from David. Absalom starts a family. He forces Joab to give him an audience with David. You know how he does it? Now, you know this is rebellion when he sets Joab's farm on fire. And Absalom goes to David finally, and the Bible says the king kissed Absalom. Chapter 14 and verse number 33. Again, there's a lot of stories in here, and I haven't decided if I'm going to preach any of them. I'm just trying to show you David's going to be on the run. So Joab came to the king and told him, and when he had called for Absalom after 2 years, he came to the king and bowed himself on his face to the ground before the king, and the king kissed Absalom. But here's the truth. Absalom now has David's approval, so to speak, and he goes behind the back of his father, and he tries to win the people's heart. And one of the things that he does is he goes and he sits in the king's gate, and people come by, and here's what Absalom does. Well, I tell you what, if I was king, well, let me just say this, Absalom, you ain't the king. But Absalom said, this is rebellion. This is going behind the leader's back. And he goes behind the leader's back, and he tries to bring people to himself, and he tries to draw people to himself. And he said, oh, I'll tell you, man, one of these days, if I'm the king, let me tell you what I'll do. You know what Absalom is? He's a rebel. He ain't got enough gumption to go to King David and say, hey, I think this is what needs to happen, or that's what needs to happen, or whatever. I'm going to tell you, if I was the king, I'd be interested in you. If I was anybody, what he was doing is he was implying that David didn't care about him. So Absalom basically turns on David. He tries to steal the throne. He gets a chariot, 50 horses and 50 men to run in front of him and talk about Absalom being the king. He was looking like a king, acting like a king. He's not the king. David's the king. He sat on the main road, and when someone came with a problem to solve, he'd meet them and solve it in their favor and say, if I was king, this is what I'd do. When anyone bowed before him, he would embrace them. What a liar. What a fake. No wonder the Bible says look at chapter 15, verse number 6. And on this manner did Absalom to all Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. That's rebellion. People are selfish to the core and have short memories many times. All that David, listen to this. I want you to think about, I want you to grab a hold of this. I want you to think about David, what he had done for Israel. I want you to think about all of the territory and the putting down of the Philistines and the singing of the songs that Saul has killed his thousands, but oh, David has killed his 10,000s. And remember David, the Savior of Israel? He's the man that killed Goliath. Who did Absalom kill? Nobody but the throne. He'd never done anything. And very quickly, people forget. Do your good deeds? Do you do good deeds to be remembered and appreciated by? Many will forget. Their motto is this. You know what the motto is this? Well, what have you done for me lately, David? Do what you do because it is right and because you do it for God and His remembrance and His appreciation. Don't do it. Do it for God. Do right for God. God will not forget what you've done. When the time was right, now we move 4 more years later, and Absalom's going to make his move. He lies to his father. Absalom makes a lying to his father as to why he goes to Hebron. He's going to go to Hebron, 40 miles south. He's going to get his forces together. Even Ahithophel, David's advisor, joined him. What another stab in the heart of David. One of his people that he got advice from in war, advice from, and if you could put it like this, ministry, whatever it might be. He was David's advisor. And here they go, Ahithophel, they start for Jerusalem, knowing that Absalom's going to kill him. Look at chapter 15 and verse number 14. And verse 13 said, there a messenger came to David saying, the hearts of the men of Israel are after Absalom. And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, arise, and let us flee, for we shall not escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly. and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword. And the king's servant said unto the king, Behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. And the king went forth and all his household with him. And the king left 10 women, which were concubines, to keep the house. And the king went forth. Now we're on the run now. Now we're getting closer to the message. And the king went forth and all the people after him and tarried in a place that was afar off. And all his servants passed on beside him. The Cherus, the Pelites, and all the Gittites, 600 men which came after him from Gath, passed on before the king. Then said the king to Hittai, the Gittite, Wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger in exile. Whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us, seeing I go whither I may return thou and take back thy brother in mercy and truth be with thee. But here's what he said. Nope, as the Lord liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. Now that's somebody that's loyal. He goes, we're going to go with you, David. We've been out in the... This ain't our first rodeo, David. Man, we can't believe this. Man, we've had it good. We were on the run from Saul all those years. Now think about this. We've been on the 14, 15 years, they're on the run. They're living out in exile. Saul wants to kill them. They fight. They're still fighting for Israel. And finally, David's on the throne. All is good, except the great sin. And now David's on the run again. And my friend Absalom is just about, if he had taken the advice of Ahithophel, he would have killed David. Now, I'm just telling you, humanly speaking, I know God's in this. You know, David is under, part of it is David's under judgment. Most of it is Solomon's, or Absalom, I don't know why I keep saying Solomon, Absalom's rebellion. So Absalom would kill him. Chapter 15, verse 14. Look, I already read that, didn't I? Let me read it again. David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, Arise and let us flee, for we shall not escape from Absalom. So David leaves 10 concubines to care for the palace. He and his army walk away. Hittai pledges his army's allegiance, goes with him, even though David suggests that he go home. The whole countryside, look at chapter 15, verse 23. And all the country wept with a loud voice. And all the people passed over. The king also passed over the brook Kidron. And all the people passed over toward the way of the wilderness. You know what they're doing? They're back in exile. They're back on the run. The whole countryside is weeping. Zadok the priest was there with the ark. But David sent him and the ark back to the temple. David said, I'm not using that. I'm not doing that. He walked to the Mount of Olives barefooted with his head covered, weeping all the way. He met Hushai at the top and sends him back to serve as an Absalom spy for David. He said, you go back, you put yourself under Absalom, but you're with me. Oh yeah, I'm with you. You go back and be my spy. And you help overturn the traitor Ahithophel and his advice. So the story is that Solomon, quit saying Solomon, Absalom comes to these two great men, Ahithophel and Hushai, and he says to Ahithophel, what should I do? And Ahithophel says, pursue. Go after him. Cut him down and do it fast. Hushai says, well, now listen, you better understand this. Absalom, David is a man of war. He's been down this path before. You go after him, he'll put a whooping on you. That's what Hushai says. You know what Absalom does? He takes the advice of Hushai and not the advice of Ahithophel. You know what Ahithophel does? He goes and puts his house in order and hangs himself. Because he knows that if he don't do what he says and he does what Hushai says, David will do exactly what Hushai said he was after he gets his men all wound up together and he gets them in. See, right now they're on the run. Once David gets himself in place and says, boys, we got a battle. And you know what else we find out? In that 24-hour period, David sits down and he writes Psalm 13. By the way, Ziba brings his army and food, provisions. Shimei from Saul's clan came out and cursed David and threw rocks at David. That didn't turn out good either. Because when David is headed back, they go, Abishai wanted to kill him on the spot. David stopped him. So David leaves Jerusalem, running out of town in disgrace by his own son and by his own sin. Absalom takes the city as predicted. He does wickedness with those 10 concubines in a tent open for all of Israel to see. War immediately breaks out as Absalom goes out to slaughter David and his soldiers. As David prepares for war, he gives strict orders in the hearing of all to spare Absalom, but Joab didn't care. I'm going to preach this next week. But later, Absalom, fleeing from the battle, had his long hair caught in a tree, jerked him off his mule, leaves him hanging. Joab, ignoring the king's order, plunged 3 spears into his chest where he hung. He had soldiers finish Absalom off, buried him like a dog under a pile of rocks. When David heard it, he had bitter tears and he wept. And as usual, David did nothing but cry. And he makes his way back to the city of Jerusalem. But on the run, I want you to go. I read Psalm 13. I'm sorry. Go to Psalm 3. Also read Psalm 3. Psalm 3. I read the wrong Psalm. I apologize. Psalm 13 is good. But look at Psalm 3. And notice it says a Psalm of David when he fled from Absalom his son. Man, I tell you, preacher makes mistakes too. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him. That's exactly what we got him now, Absalom said. And he would have had him if he had done what Ahithophel said. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. Which means, think about that. I laid me down and slept. I awaked. So David's on the run. David writes this psalm, lays down and sleeps. He awakes, and the Lord sustained him. And then he said this, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for Thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessings is upon the people. Selah. Think about that. And David is to come home. This psalm that David wrote on his own the run is a psalm called of short sentences. It means a song of short sentences, meaning that when we are in a trial, we don't speak to God in a bunch of flowery words. Oh God, how art thou? No, we say, God, I need your help. That's exactly what David's doing. And you know what David does? This is amazing to me. In David's trial, running from, what a shame David must have felt. My own son. You don't think David was not completely devastated and hurt by the situation? You want to talk about PTSD? Those that are closest to you, like his own son, would be the one who would rebel against David. What a shame David must have felt. Finally, he lays down and he goes to sleep, but he wakes up and he said, hey, listen, God's in control. God knows what he's doing. He didn't want his son dead. Joab could have cared less. In fact, when David cries, oh, Absalom, oh, Absalom, Joab grabs a hold of him and says, David, don't you understand this rebel tried to kill you? He tried to take the throne. He totally rebelled against you, David, don't you see that, Joab? Joab shot him 3 times right in the heart. He had no sympathy for Absalom. And I'm going to tell you right now, when I preach next week, I'm going to preach this, the death of a rebel. By the way, David had slept outside before. David knew what it was like to be a shepherd. And this is just my mind surmising this. David is writing, he's writing this psalm, and he looks around him. He looks around him and there's Joab, commander-in-chief. There's Benaiah, who killed a lion. There's Abishai, Joab's brother, once killed 300 men with a spear in hand-to-hand combat. Here's his mighty men, 30 of them, minus Uriah the Hittite. Joab wakes up to see David writing a song about his enemies. And even, I believe, about Shimei. Look at 2 2 Samuel chapter 16. Look at this character when David's on the run. David is in the lowest point of his life. You understand that when David is on the run from Absalom, the rebel who tried to kill him, can you imagine? This is the lowest point. He was the king of Israel. Now he's on the run. And this guy right here, somebody should have done something with him, Shimei. Look at verse 5. And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, there came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. And he came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and at the servants of King David. And all the people, all the mighty men were on the right hand and on the left hand. Did you hear me describe what some of these guys had done? These were bad dudes, man. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, thou bad of Baal. He's throwing rocks at David. He's cursing at David. And the Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, thy son. What do you think about it now, David? And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief because thou art a bloody man. Then, O Abishai, comes the son of Zeruiah, which is Joab's brother, said, David, why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Can I go over and take off his head? David in his grief, David in his hurt, he says, well, what have I to do with you, sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord has said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done also? And David said to Abishai and to all of his servants, behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone. Let him curse. For the Lord hath bidden him. And here's, I like David. He said, it may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction and the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. Basically, David said, he ain't worth it. Let him curse and let him throw rocks. And David said, and as David and his men went by the way, Shimei went along the hillside over against him and cursed as he went and threw stones at him and cast dust. And the king and all the people that were with him came weary and refreshed him though there. Absalom moves into Jerusalem. After this episode, that night, David writes Psalms 3. Can you imagine the cursing the king, the leader of Israel? And oh, by the way, in the end, Shimei will receive his reward. Here's what I want to tell you. Don't retaliate when people curse you. Don't try to avenge a rebel. God will take care of it. He won't do it in our time, but He'll do it in His time. You know what his enemies were saying? Where's God now, David? You thought you were big stuff, didn't you, David? Huh? What are you doing, David? Let me tell you something. God is with us on the mountain, and God is with us in the valley. That's why David writes Psalm 3. You know who trusted? You know who he trusted? Go back to Psalm 3. Look at verse number 3. Psalm 3, verse 3. But thou, O Lord, art my shield. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. David said, I went to sleep, and I woke, and the Lord was still there. He sustained me. Sometimes God puts our head in a vise or something like that, just to so that we'll see who do we really serve. Our assurance is in God. Our assurance is based on God's Word, not circumstances or feelings. Because feelings can go up and feelings can go down and circumstances can go against you and circumstances can go in every direction. But God's still on the throne. Listen, David said, God gave me the throne. If God wants to give it back, so be it. Leave that Shimei alone and let's just go on. God will hear us when we come to Him. Look at verse number 4. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me out of His holy hill. Our assurance is not in our job. Our assurance is not in our possessions. Our assurance is in the Lord. Boy, I tell you, been a rough couple of years in my opinion. Different things, COVID, et cetera, everything in between. But God's still on the throne. And God knows how to take care of us. And our assurance is not in the stuff we have. When we are God-centered instead of self-centered, we'll desire His will. In the trials, we need to trust. And you know what? I mean, we know the end of the story. God brings him back. When David left, he goes, we're toast. I mean, basically, David said that. He said, we're not. Absalom, he's got it going on. No, God's got it going on. Absalom's not in control. God is. And in verse 5 through 8, you really see that David triumphs. He says, save me, Lord, verse 7. For thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of thy ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessings is upon thy people. You know what? God knows what we need. And God knows when we need it. We may fail. Listen, we may fail God, but we don't have to stay there. David sinned. David understood that this was part of it, but he still trusted God. He still loved God. He repented. And God wants to use our circumstances to move us forward for Him. Guy wrote this, God will make a way when there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will guide. He will be my guide, hold me closely to His side. With love and strength for each new day, He will make a new way. When we have God's peace, that's when we get triumph. Listen to me, folks. Trials are real. The war within is real. But sometimes because of sin, and sometimes because of life in general. But when we trust in the Lord, He will give us the triumph. Absalom, the rebel, does not win. David, the man after God's own heart, comes back. He makes a comeback. The old man makes a comeback. And David comes back. And Absalom does not win. Rebels never win. Let's stand tonight, every head bowed. Lord, I pray tonight that You would help us to understand the principles that we find in the life of Absalom and David. David sinned. David paid for it. But Absalom was a rebel. Absalom tried to take the hearts of the people that did not belong to him. They belonged to David in the sense of who was the king. But Absalom tried to kill his own father, take the throne. He committed atrocities. In his heart was to kill his own father and to take the throne. I'm glad for Psalm 3. I'm glad for Psalm 13, even though I meant to read Psalm 3. Because the same idea, God is in control. And David wakes up that night, in the middle of the night, probably early in the morning, writes that psalm. I can imagine Joab, Benaniah, and these men waking up, and there's their leader over there writing. You know what he's doing? He's praying. He's communing with God. He closes up the book and he says, all right, boys, let's go. God's in control. We've been here before. Let's trust in Him. And they rallied and they beat back Absalom and his men, and David went back to the throne of Israel. And Lord, there's a lot of principles there. We need to trust You in every area of our life. In the trials of life, God help us. Speak to Your people tonight in any way You choose, because the Holy Spirit knows how to do an invitation better than I do. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. Let's sing page 282. Let's sing about three verses of that tonight. Whiter than snow. 282, if you want to sing it with us. Hey, listen, if you're not in a trial, you'll go through one. I don't wake up every day and say, well, Lord, I hope today I get a good trial. No, we don't do that. But we do know if you've lived long enough, they come, things happen. Sometimes God has to get our attention. Sometimes God wants to draw us closer to Him. David understood that the baby died. David understood his family was messed up. I wish he had done more with his family. I really do. But I can only preach what actually happened. But I do know that Absalom was a rebel. And he went against the will of God. And he went against the throne of God. He went against the kingdom of God, if you would. Absalom did not win. God did. Let's sing. If you need to do business with God, do it tonight.
Lord Jesus, I long to be perfectly whole. I want Thee forever to live in my soul. Bring down every idol, cast down every wall. Thou wash me and I shall be whiter than...
Get a hold of this tonight. Don't be a rebel. Don't be a rebel. We'll preach about rebellion next week. God kills it. It's like witchcraft. It's wicked. It's wrong. That long hair of Absalom hanging in a tree, three dots in his heart. I'm just telling you, God knows how to take care of rebellion.